John, who is deployed. And we have a military support room right off the side of the sanctuary there. We're going to be having his address up there here pretty soon. And I would like for you know, to, you know, ain't got to write no 8 or 9 page letter, but just write a little note, let him know that we're thinking about him, that we're praying for him, and we are appreciative of what he's doing. You know, for him to volunteer himself, you know, to go into harm's way, not for a week or two or a month or two, but for years. I take my hat off to these soldiers. I really do, because they do that on a voluntary basis. And that's so we can maintain our freedoms and our liberties. So many countries don't have what we have. They could not do what we're doing here today. They have to do it underground, if they do it at all, for fear of persecution. So, you know, let's, when we get the address up there, and then we're going to send him some good stuff. We're going to send him a box of good stuff. I mean, not just Snickers and stuff. We're going to send him some chicken and, no. Well, we're going to eat some chicken for him. But we're going to send him some good stuff and stuff. And if you don't know, you know, what to send for the soldiers, see Sister Christy there, right? Raise your hand, Christy. She's in charge of the military support room. Her husband, Carmen, he's been in the military for 33 years. How many? Okay. Okay. All right. All right. Okay. So she knows exactly what them soldiers need when they're deployed. And he's been deployed many times. Twice. Two times too many. But anyway, praise the Lord. So let's rally around our soldiers, you know, and support them and let them know that we love them and that we honor them and we're appreciative of them. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Judges, Judges 6. Now, the book of Judges is just about what that says. It's judge. Is this before they had kings? And they had people that God would appoint to look over the affairs of the nation. When they had disputes and they had differences, they would go to the judges. And they would state their cases, and the judge would recommend or do what was fair to take care of those things. Now, this judge that we're talking about, his name was Gideon, Judges 6. And I'm going to start in verse 1. When you get to say amen. Now, Gideon was a Israelite. He was a Hebrew. And it says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And it should be again, but it's not. Because they would do evil over and over and over again. And God would always. Now, there would be a consequence for their disobedience. God would always give them a consequence for them drifting. You know, I talked about drifting here this morning, about their disobedience. There was always a consequence for that. And what they had done, God said, you have disobeyed me once again. You have turned to other gods. And the consequences is going to be on you. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Midians. 7 years. 7 years. They were captives. They were in war. The Midianites and the Amalekites, they were nomadic people. They would just go from place to place to place, and they would destroy everything that they came in contact with. All the crops they would take away from them, then they burn the fields. All of the villages or whatever, they would go in and ravage the village and take everything from them. And it was so many of them. They were like, matter of fact, you'll see it here. It said they were out. They were so many of them, you couldn't even number them. And they would go from place to place to place to place. And they would just ravage the people in the land. Now, this was God's chosen people. But they did evil in his sight. And he says, okay, for your consequence. 7 years you're going to be under their thumb. 7 years they're going to you're going to live in poverty. Matter of fact, if you read it, I'm not going to read all of this here. This could be your homework. Read this here about Gideon 6 and 7. It said that they lived in caves and any place they could find to live. Instead of the homes and the villages and things, they had to move to caves because these enemies of those, they would just destroy everything. And it says, and the hand of the Midianites prevailed against Israel and became, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. Till thou came unto Gaza and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass or donkeys. And it says, and they came up with their tents, with their cattle in their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitudes, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. Why? Because of disobedience. Because of disobedience. I say this all the time. What if God gave us what we deserved? Or what would God give us what we gave him? Where would we be? Thank God for the grace. Thank God for that grace. That juice that we drank, the wine that we drank. It wasn't wine, but it's juice. But in the old days, they called it wine because they didn't have any words for juice. But anyway, because of the blood of Jesus, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, we're under grace now. But still, there's consequences for sin. Do you know that? You might not suffer it right now or tomorrow or next week, but there will be consequences. But on that, on the good part about that is, 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins to him, confess your disobedience to him, he said he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And this is a good, and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You know, this country that we're living in has been so rebellious against God. And we wonder why there's so much murder in our country. There's so much crime in our country. There's so many calamities. Do you know they had 18 tornadoes down in Texas here yesterday? 18 tornadoes in one day. How crazy is that? Once again, I believe that a lot of this here is the judgment of God because of what this nation have been so disobedient to God. And not only that, they've been it's not a subtle disobedience, but it's almost a thing of pride that we're disobeying God in this nation. And this nation was founded, one nation under God. And here we are in the year of our Lord, 2022. And the things that we're doing in this nation and allowing in this nation. And let me tell you something. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse, church. But the good part about it, we're the remnant. Now, we're going to suffer some of the consequences. Absolutely. Because we're part of this nation. But the good news is, we're covered under the blood. As I tell y'all all the time, we're in a win-win situation. If somebody was to come through this door right here and come up here and shoot me in my head, I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to be with Jesus. Y'all have to find another pastor. But I'm going to be with Jesus. Amen. So I'm in a win-win situation, and you are too. I just don't want it to hurt. if you're going to shoot me where it don't hurt. Praise the Lord. But I'm saying to you, you know what I mean? Because anything could happen to any one of us at any time. But if you're under the blood of Jesus, under the new covenant, we're going to be with Jesus. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. So praise the Lord. So we're not to fear death. We're not to fear death because it's coming. And I say this all the time. Each and every day that God wakes us up, we're dying. Do you know that? We're dying. You started dying at the moment of conception. You started dying. Every day we're dying. We're getting closer and closer. You know, when I walk up the steps in my parsonage up there every night, I grab a hold of the steps and I pull myself up. I said, another day closer to glory, Jesus. Another day closer to glory, Jesus. And I mean that. Another day closer to glory, Jesus. And you know, what a wondrous day that's going to be. And that's why we should have that joy unspeakable, that peace that surpasses all understanding. Because this life is just a vapor compared to eternity. A vapor. But we need to keep that in mind. But anyway, so what happened was, and the Lord went and found Gideon. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor. What? And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? From now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Why? Because of disobedience. See, what he was saying was, you know, what happened to all of the wonderful blessings that our forefathers received? You know what? You know about our we've heard about how God delivered us out of the hands of the Egyptians for 400 years, and how he provided food and clothes that didn't wear out, and all of this type of stuff. Where is he now? Well, he's still there, and he's still a loving and a just and a holy God. And that's why you're suffering this, because he's a just and a loving and a holy God. You see, because if there's no consequences for your actions, what do? You keep on doing the actions over and over and over again. If there's no consequences for your action, why stop the action? Keep on doing it, right? Is that right, Aaron? Okay, I'm glad to see you, young man. I know it. And I want to see you every Sunday. Don't make me come looking for you. All right. Anyway. So anyway, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, that thou might save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Oh, that's powerful. Now, he's saying, where have you been, Lord? All of this time, our homes have been ransacked. Our crops and everything have been taken away from us. We're living in caves and in mountainsides and any place that we can find. And God says, you mighty man of valor. Me? Me, a mighty man of valor, and I'm hiding in caves? Oh, you got the wrong one, Lord. But Lord says, have not I sent thee? Regardless of how insignificant that you think that you are, regardless of how inadequate that you might be, regardless of how insufficient that you might think that you are, when the hand of God is on you and he says, I am with you and I'm sending you to do what I've called you to do. Let me tell you something. When God will do that, You're a Superman. You're a Superman. You might as well get you a cape and some red tights. Because God is with you. God is with you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Oh, if God has sent you. And he said unto him, Oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. My family is not nothing. They're not no rich family. They don't have any power or anything like that. He says, I'm the least of my father's house. Not only is my family poor, I'm the least of all of them. And the Lord said to him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. How powerful is that for the Lord to speak to you like that? He's making excuses. And who else made excuses? Moses. There you go. And we see what God did with Moses. So here we are again. And he says, And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. Has anybody ever been there? Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. I need for you to, I'm hearing what you're saying, but I need to see something. Has anybody ever been like that? I need to see something. It says, Depart now thence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring thee my present, and set it before thee. And he said that I would tarry until I come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes. And he made some food, and the angel of the Lord came, and he exhumed all of it. Then Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. So God granted him his request. He showed him. Not only am I telling you who I am, I'm showing you who I am. And Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. This is verse 22. And Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face, and the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Because you know they said, you know, you cannot see God and live. So this is the angel of the Lord, which so many believe was Jesus Christ. And so anyway, and Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, which means peace, Jehovah peace. Now to this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizeites. And it came to pass on that same night that the Lord said to him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock, and seven years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father has, and cut down the groves that is by it. So wait a minute. His father is a Baal worshiper. His father is an idol worshiper. So he grew up in a house of worshiping idols. Now, how's the Lord going to use me? And I grew up worshiping idols. How is God going to use me to free my people? And all I know is worshiping idols. Let me tell you something. I don't care what your past is. I don't care how you grew up. When God comes to you and tells you that he wants to use you, let me tell you something. He got something for you. He got something for you to do. And what he's going to do is he's going to take you and he's going to put in you the righteousness of God. He's going to take out those things that you grew up with, those things that you have already known. How many of us, when we were growing up, lived in households of alcoholics, drug addicts, and all kind of other stuff? But look at you now. Look at you now. And so anyway, he told him, he says, what I want you to do is I want you to go down there and I want you to destroy all of these idols that your father has made, the place. And he says, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of the rock in an ordered place, to take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice and the wood and the grove which thou hast cut down. What he's saying is, I want you to cut down all of this stuff that is not of me, and I want you to put an altar up there of me. Replace those idols. Replace those things that is not of me, and replace them and put me up there in front of it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Take those things that you used to live by, get rid of it, and you put something up there to remember me, to honor me. We had I don't know if years ago, we had a Spence and Leslie, and they were military, and they used to have a house out there on 37. And we had a bonfire out there, and the one night we had the bonfire, everybody took everything out of their house that they used to listen to, you know, those old records and CDs and them old, I don't even think they had DVDs back then, them big old box things. The movies, you know, that you used to put in the little thing there. VHS, yes, yes, yes. You know, and all of the stuff that before you were saved, that you were listening to, that you were watching, and even clothes that you were wearing. Books that you had that you shouldn't have had. Magazines that you might have had that you shouldn't have had. And so we had a night of burning all of that stuff. Big bonfire. And we burned all that stuff. You know, and I remember, I can't think of what her name was. But anyway, y'all know I'm a little colorful in my dress. And this one lady in church, she says, Pastor, she says, that suit that you wear sometimes make me think that you're a pimp. I say, what? She said, no, it wasn't yellow. I called it salmon. She called it pink. She called it pink. I called it salmon. I thought it looked good in me. But she said, whenever you wear that suit, you know, make me think about a pimp. So guess what went in the fire that night? That salmon suit. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I thought I was coming to church styling. But that went in too. You know, and a few other things also that I was holding on to and shouldn't have, or things that I had. You know how everybody got stuff tucked in their house, different places that you done put away and then forgot about. And so people went through their homes and their garages and their basements and their attics, and they found all of these things that they had in their homes. And we burnt them that night. We had a wonderful time. And it was a time of being free, of a freeing time. You know what I mean? Knowing that we have gotten rid of all of this stuff here that we shouldn't have had in the first place, but we did. Who got a home with a fire pit, big one? Brother Larry? Is it big enough so we can bring some stuff? All right, praise the Lord. We're going to have a time when we're going to come to your place and we're going to burn up everything that you shouldn't have. And the church says, everybody didn't say amen. But we will. I'm going to tell you, it's a time of really being free of things that we shouldn't have. And we all have collected things over the years that we shouldn't have. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. We will get a date. Now, so let me see. So Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it in a day, but he did it at night. Wisdom. He knew if he had went that day, they would have stopped him. But he did it that night. The bottom line is, he did it. He obeyed. The bottom line is, he obeyed. And with his obedience, God said, now I can take you to the next step. I can take you to the next step. Remember he told him, he says, I'm going to use you to be the hand to deliver the Israelite people out of the hand of the Midianites, of the enemies. Because I'm going to be with you. You're not going to be by yourself. I know you say that you're the least, your family's the least of the tribe, and you're the least of your family, that you feel insignificant, inadequate, that you can't do nothing. But let me tell you something. That's what God wants us. He don't want us to be proper. Oh, I can do it, God. I'll go, God. I'll fight him, God. No, 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 no. He wants us to be humble, to have a contrite spirit. That's what he's looking for. And that's what this man Gideon was. Even though he was raised up in idol worshiping, he still had a contrite heart. He was going to be obedient to God. And that's what he did. Then all the Midianites and the Amorites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. 34. But the spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after them. And he sent messengers throughout the Manasseh, who also gathered after him. And he sent messages to Asher and to Zebulun and to Naphtali, and they all came up to meet him. So Gideon said, you know what? We're going to go to war. You see, all of that cowardness, all of that insignificance, inadequacy was gone now. Gideon's like, God is with me. He's with me. You know, I know that he's God, because not only did he talk to me, he showed me that he was God. Oh. So he blew the trumpet. And the trumpet, when you blew the trumpet or the shofar back then, that was a call for war. That was a call, get ready for war. So they all responded to him. And Gideon said unto the Lord, if thou wilt save Israel by thy hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on. Wait now. Come on, Gideon. Now you've obeyed. You tore down your father's groves and the Asherah poles. You built an altar before the Lord. You know the Lord is real. You blew the trumpet to go fight. But right before that, well, Lord, wait a minute. I need a little bit more. I need a little bit more. And he says, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dried up on the earth beside, then I shall know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. I need something else, Lord. I need something else. Let me say something to you. When I was going through this last night, I was studying it. It brought me back to a time before I was a pastor. And I knew the Lord was calling me. I knew that. And I was running from it. And so I was on my way up here to the park. I used to go up to the park a lot and watch the sunset, you know, because a beautiful sunset up there. And so I was going up to the park one day. And I know that Pastor Larkins, my pastor, and Elder Williams, and a couple of my elders, they had prophesied over me that I was going to preach the gospel, that I was, you know, that God, his hand was on me, you know, and I'm like, So anyway, I'm on the way to the park. I said, Lord, I said, if you have called me to be a pastor, I said, I want to see a deer. I said, I want to see the deer. And as I was going up the hill, and right out this bush here, here come a deer right in front of my car. And then another one came. And then another one came. And that last deer, as he was going by, stopped and turned around and looked right in my eyes. I'm telling you, looked right in my eyes. And I forgot about that till last night when I was reading this. I was Gideon. You know, I've been prophesied over. I felt in my spirit that God had called me, but still I was hesitant. and I needed more. And I would have said, if I didn't see a deer, I don't know if I'd have been a pastor today. But he sent three deers, and that last one stopped and just turned his head and looked right at me in the car. And I'm in the car like this. Thinking, Lord, have mercy. Yes. But from that time to this time here, I had no doubt. I have had no doubt that God has called me. It's not in my own strength. Not something that I volunteered to do. But I wanted to do what God had called me to do. And I'm so thankful that with his enablement and his anointing, that God has carried me on. So anyway, and it was so, for he rose up early in the morning and the fleece together and wrang the dew out of the fleece of a bowl of water. And Gideon said to the Lord, let not thy anger be hot against me. Lord, please don't be mad. Please don't be mad against him. And I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece, let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon the ground let there be dew. That, now I'm going to tell you something. That took quite a bit. I don't know if I'd have done that now. With them deer was enough for me. I don't know if I'd have said, well, okay, Lord, let the deer run back the other way. I wouldn't have done that. You know, I knew as I was looking in the eye of that deer that God had sent them deers there. Now, I only asked him to see one, but he sent three. But Gideon, now, I believe, Lord, but help me in my unbelief once again. Please don't be mad at me, Lord. I know you have showed me over and over and over that you are God. But I need a little bit more. Has anybody ever been in that position? I need a little bit more, Lord. Not more, more. I need a little bit more. Now, and the Lord did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. How good is our God? Even when we are unbelievers, even when how many times? Now, if I was God, I would like, I'm going to send you some. I'm going to send you some lightning. But God is gracious, isn't he? He's merciful, isn't he? He's love. And most of all, he's understanding. He understands, you know, sometimes how we are with ourselves. That people can tell you things over and over and over again, and you keep calling them over and over again and say, Pastor, I want to talk to you about this again. You know, Pastor done told you the truth 10 times, but then you want to come to me and ask me the same thing again. But I didn't say nothing about you. Anyway, here we go. So Gideon's ready now. I mean, he's on fire now. He got his Holy Ghost muscles now. You know, he got all of the men. He had 330,000 men to fight. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came to outside. No, I'm getting ahead of myself. So anyway, so what he did was, you know, he got all of these men. And God says, you got too many. Because if you got all of these men, you can say that you are the ones that won this. So what I want you to do is, I want you to say, everybody who's scared, has any doubt about this, y'all can go on back home. Go on back home. And he lost. I don't know where it is in here. Somebody will find it here for me. How many? Okay, there you go. And he said, that's still too many. He says, what I want you to do is take them to the river and have them drink the water. And I want you to watch them. He says, and the ones that get down and drink the water like this here, I want you to send them home. He said, but the ones that at the river and they drink the water like this here, we want you to keep them. And it was only 300. Only 300 did that. Now, I would have said, Lord, why? This ain't making no sense here. How's drinking water? You're gonna dismiss some and then bring some? Because the ones that was down like this here, they had no awareness of what was going on. We're living in a state, in a country, in a world. You need to be aware of your surroundings. Church, you hear me? You need to be aware of your surroundings. Everywhere you go, Walmart, Kenny's, to the park, to the church, anywhere that you might go, you need to be aware, especially you women, because there's predators out there. Be careful about your surroundings, where you are. So it's 300 of them that was aware of their surroundings. And God says, these are the ones we're going to use. And so he sent everybody else home. And y'all know the end of the story. But just in case one might not. So Gideon and the 100 that was with him went outside. No, I'm getting ahead of myself again. So God says, I'm going to show you, I'm going to give you a little bit more insight. He said, I want you to take one of your servants. And I want you to go down to the edge of the camp of the enemy. And I want you to hide outside one of the tents and just listen. And so one of the Mennonites said, I had a dream last night. I had a dream last night that it was a stone that rolled down into the tent. And he says, and I believe that this is the interpretation of it. That the Lord was with Gideon. And Gideon came down, the sword of Gideon, and they slaughtered all of us. And Gideon heard that. He says, that's all I need. I don't need no more fleecing. I don't need nothing else. I hear the enemy, what they have said. They have fear now. God had put fear in their hearts. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but what? Power, love, and a sound mind. So Gideon went back up and he told his guys. Now, this is where we are now. So Gideon, with the 100 men that were with him and to the outside of the camp, beginning in the middle of the watch, they had but set a watch and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers in their hands. They had 300 men. No weapons. No bow and arrows. No spears. They had shofars and they had pitchers with light inside of it, with fire inside of it. He says, I want 100 of y'all be over here, 100 over here, and 100 over here. He said, at my signal, I want you to blow the trumpet, and I want you to holler. I want you to holler. And so it said that the Lord sent every man's, no, I'm getting ahead of myself again. And they stood by the place round about the camp with the host of the ram and cried and fled. And the 300 men blew the trumpets. And the Lord sent every man's sword against his fellow, even through all the hosts. And the host fled to Bathsheba in the Zerites to the border of that word. So what happened was they already had fear. And when Gideon and his men blew those trumpets or the ram's horn or the shofars, and they broke those lights, and all they heard was all of these trumpets blowing, and they saw all of these lights. It was only 300, but it was all around them. But God put in their hearts that fear, and so they woke up and jumped up and started fighting one another. They woke up, and they were disorientated. They was confused, and they started fighting one another and fled. How good is that? And you know why? You know why the enemy was defeated? Only one word. Obedience. How does that apply to us today? We have an enemy. We have an enemy. More powerful than the Amalekites and the Midianites. More powerful than him. But we have the Lord on our side. We have the Lord on our side. How do we fight the enemy? Obedience. We have to obey God in everything in our life. It cannot be partial obedience, because partial obedience is like no obedience. We have to be obedient in everything that God has called us to do. Our time of worship, our time of prayer, our time of studying the Word of God, our time of fellowshipping with one another, our time of loving the Lord thy God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, our time of loving our neighbors as ourselves. See, we do a lot of that, what we do, but in some areas, we're a little shy. I can't do my devotion this morning. I can't spend that much time in prayer. I can't fellowship. I don't feel like coming to church. You know, my eyebrow hurt. I got eyebrow-itis. You know, yeah, I love everybody, but let me tell you about Sister So-and-so. Let me tell you about Brother. Yes. Come on, church. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Partial obedience. And once again, listen, we're all human. You know, we make wrong choices and bad mistakes. But if you are real about serving God, you'll do everything in your power to obey him in every area of your life. Every area of your life. As I said earlier, what if God didn't feel like giving you another breath? It's too inconvenient for me. What if God didn't feel like letting you have another heartbeat? And on and on and on and on. But he's faithful, isn't he? In our unfaithfulness, he's faithful. That amazes me so much. His faithfulness. In my unfaithfulness, he's always faithful to me. Now, there's woodshed in times, though. There's woodshed. There's consequences times. You know, when I don't do what I know that God has called me to do, there's times. And you know what those woodshed times do? It makes me not do that again. It makes me not do that again. You know, and it's not because I want to go to the wood, don't want to go to the woodshed, and I don't want to go to the woodshed again, but because I love him. I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to disappoint God. I want to love him. I want to be responsible to him in every way that I can, in every day, in everything that I'm doing. But once again, like I said, we're still human. But we know when we do stuff when we shouldn't be doing it, and you do it anyway. And then you go and do it again, anyway. And the more you do it again and again, the easier it is to do, isn't it? Easier to do. Like coming to church. Oh, I used to come to church every Sunday. Every Tuesday night, every Wednesday Bible study. I don't feel like it too much. I don't like that way the one teaches. Sister Sally going to be there, and I don't want to be around her because she makes me sick. And the next thing you know what I mean, you'll miss a Tuesday, and you'll miss another Tuesday, and you feel a little bit bad. But by that third or fourth Tuesday, I'm good. I'm going to stay home and watch Jeopardy. Wednesday night, I'm going to stay home and watch Wheel of Fortune. Huh? Sunday morning, I'm going to sleep in. And after two or three or four Sundays, there's no conviction, no nothing. You've drifted. You know that we're in a time, biblical time, of a great falling away. Do you know that, church? Don't let you be the one that falls away. Don't let that be you. Whatever it is that the enemy is trying to do to trying to keep you away, don't let that be you. Whatever it is that you're doing, like I say, I don't have to say, Carolyn, I'm going to call you this afternoon and I'm going to beg you, I beseech you, please, please, please get you something to eat. Please. And this evening, please, please, please get you something to eat. I don't have to do that, do I? And you know why? Because you're hungry and you're going to get you something to eat. Right? Right. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But if you don't have a desire to do it, you drift. The great falling away. And it's happening all over the world. It's happening all over the world. You know, our North Country Ministers Fellowship, all the churches, a great falling away. And thank God for us, though, God has been faithful that we're able to maintain our supplies, maintain our maintenance on the church. Maintain. Do you know the bill that I got from Niagara Mohawk yesterday? My blood pressure shot up. I opened that thing up and I'm thinking, are you, and we're on a budget. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Oh, and I know y'all's homes is the same way. You know, if you ain't got your bill lately, let me tell you, when you see it again, oh, how crazy is that? But thank God for the faithfulness. Thank God, you know, that we're able to continue on and do what God has called us to do. Thank God for that. But you know what? There's churches that are that far from folding. That far from folding and shutting the doors. How sad is that? But I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. And it's only God who's doing this. It's only God who's doing this. And I'm going to tell you something else. When we were in the pandemic, you know, and they shut the churches down, and they had these things that you can get money from the government, you know, for the whatever. And I said, I'm going to trust God. And I did. And he got us through it. He got us through it, boy, with flying colors. Our CPA, he said, I can't believe it. I said, let me tell you, believe God. Believe God. And in the midst of that, I doubled our monthly support. I doubled it, our monthly support to our outreaches that we send every month. To Israel, to Africa, to the women's center down there. They got a women's center down here somewhere. But anyway, we partnered with them. Planned Parenthood, not Planned Parenthood, the other one. The other one, yeah. Yeah. We doubled all of that. We doubled it. And I'm sitting up here thinking, how am I going to do this, Lord? But the Lord put in my heart, give. Give. And he has blessed us, church. He has blessed us. And he will continue to bless us as long as we are obedient and faithful to him. And I want to thank you for your faithfulness. I want to thank you for your obedience. I want to thank you for your giving. I want to thank you for praying for me and loving me and doing everything. I thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't tell you how much I thank you. And I mean that. I wouldn't trade y'all for the world. And I mean that. Not even one of you. I wouldn't trade none of you. And I mean that. You know, there was a time, you know, I said, Lord, why can't I have a regular church like everybody else? You know, we got, you know, I'm at a minister's fellowship and whatever. You know, you got the church out in Boonville. You know, you got the church out there in Copenhagen. And you got church, you know, out there at Star Lake and all the churches around, you know what I mean? I said, boy, they got a nice little church, you know what I mean? They got all the good people, you know, normal people and things. Yes, we do. I said, Lord, why can't I have a church like that? God said, I didn't call you to have one like that. Yes, but I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for all of you, and I mean that. You know, because this, you know, the differences that we have, that's what it's about. We are a many-membered body. Everybody can't be a thumb or a little finger or ear or eye, but we all make up the body of Christ. And we got some that's a little, but that's what keeps us going, isn't it? That's what keeps us going. And I just love it. Mikey, I love you. I know it. I do. I love you, Mike, and I mean that. It wouldn't be the same if you wasn't here. And I mean that. Liza, I love you. I know you do. Scotty, I love you. Come here and give me a hug. Come on down here and give me a hug. He got to put his papers away. All right. All right. Come on down here, Scotty. For those of you who don't know this, this is Scotty. This is my main man. Come on down here, Scotty. I can't tell you how many people are affected by Scotty being here. Yeah. I love you, Scotty.
I love you too.
I know it. I know we love each other. Yes. Now, watch out, Scotty.
Yeah, okay.
All right, but anyway, stand right here, Scotty. All right, stand right here. Keep your hands up here. All right. This is what I want to say to each and every one of you. Regardless of who you are, regardless of your past or whatever, we're going to love you. We're going to accept you. There's a lot of churches that won't do that. But we will. We will. Whoever you are, however you are, you know, you're welcome in here. And I mean that. And Scotty, I want you to know I love you so much. All right. All right, you can go sit down now, Scotty. Go give Uncle Paul a kiss. See, that's exactly what I'm talking about right there. Exactly what I'm talking about right. You know, you never know what's going to happen from Sunday to Sunday up in here. You never know. But praise the Lord. But anyway, once again, I want to thank all of y'all. I mean that for Pastor's Appreciation Month. But my appreciation for you is you growing in the Lord. You know, you're doing what God has called you to do. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for that. If anybody's here today that has drifted, anybody here who has kind of gone to that faraway land as the prodigal did, you know, it said he came to himself. And he says, I'm going back home to my father. I'm going back home. You know, so if you're here today and you want to come back home, I mean, truly in the arms of God. He's here today saying, my son, my daughter, you're always welcome back home. Regardless of how far you, how long you've been away, how far you've been away, even what you've done while you was away, His arms are open to welcome you back home. So if anybody's here today that want to come back home, and I mean truly, not only just for a minute or two, but truly come back and be and do what God has called you to be and do, the altar's open for you to come. Say, Lord, I've been away, but today I'm coming home. And when I come home this time, I'm staying home. I'm not leaving no more, Lord. I'm going to make a commitment this day to be here. I'm making a commitment today that I'm coming back home and I'm going to stay home. Don't be ashamed if you know that you're one that has drifted, because we might not know it, but God does. God knows. He said, come all you are burdened and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Let me tell you something, you can't have no better rest than a soul rest. A rest in your soul. None. Yes, yes, yes. Yep. Okay. Now, for those of you who are here, and let me say something. I know of some out here that you probably should be up here too. But that's okay. That's all right, because God will meet you where you are if you're sincere. Because, see, we look on the outside, but God looks on the inside. So I'm going to ask you today that you're going to make a commitment. Make a commitment, November the 6th, the year of our Lord, 2022, that this day that you're surrendering all, that you're all in, 100%, you're not going to let nothing or nobody draw you away from God again. From this day forward, we're going to make that vow, right? I'm going to make it with you. I'm going to make it with you. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask everybody to make it today. Make everybody, let's make a vow to God today that we're going to stay close to Him. He says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. We're going to make a commitment to draw near to God today. Amen. Father, we come before you today, giving you honor, glory, and praise. Lord, you hear us. You see us. You know our hearts. This day, Lord, we're drawing closer to you because we need you to draw closer to us. So, Lord, we're making a commitment, a vow today, that we're going to serve you with everything within us, oh Lord. And the things that we're void of, Lord, we ask you to help us as you did with Gideon and so many others, to be with us, oh Father God, to do what you've called us to do, to fight the good fight, oh Lord Jesus. And that we will, each and every day that you wake us up, that we'll have a greater desire to serve you than the day before. And all God's children said, amen, 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 amen. God bless you all. Have a great day.